Members, what it be?
What it do?
Oh man. All right, so as y'all can obviously tell, that is not Andy. I mean, look, it could be.
Huh? Sorry, Andy. Love you.
He's gonna love that.
He's gonna fucking die.
I don't care. All right, so yeah, Andy is currently under the weather. He's been sick for about a week. To be honest, like we rocked with him to go to a Flyers game, and then after that he was lights out.
A Thursday night, and then he just
that's the last time. Just last time we heard from him,
right? He was like, sick. Don't call me.
So there were a few plans that were supposed to happen over the last 2 weeks. We were supposed to have a Spider-Man 2 podcast that was going to be Mike, who is sitting here right now with me. I buried the lead like a motherfucker on that one. Mike, I appreciate you jumping in, brother.
Of course, always for you, man.
Thank you. So yeah, it was going to be Mike and Andy because they both finished the game, and then we had the loveliness of having our boy Alex from What's Your Spaghetti Policy podcast. Right. He was here last week. So he was going to come over, and we all were going to record that because he played it too. And I was just going to just sit here and just listen to these clowns talk. But then my social battery completely went empty on Friday, and I couldn't even get myself out of the house to come see you guys, like for real. Right. And like Andy was sick, so it just didn't go the way we wanted. And Alex flew out early on Saturday, so we just couldn't do it. But what we're going to do today is we are going to give y'all kind of a year in review of 2023 for gaming. And I mean, we haven't been podcasting this whole year. Like we came back around mid-year to get me to come back onto this with season 5. But so far, like, I mean, I feel like there was some really, really good things that happened this year.
Yeah, this year was kind of I didn't expect it to be as wild as it was, but we got some pretty cool stuff.
I agree. Okay, so let's go ahead and kind of jump into, I just want to jump into the Game Awards, okay? So
sure.
The Game Awards, we already know Baldur's Gate 3 won Game of the Year. Regardless of your opinions on that was a game that absolutely took the world by storm. I have not seen a tabletop RPG style, turn-based style game take the world of gaming before. Like, I honestly haven't.
So, I mean, I think that's an attribute to a couple of things. One, writing. Like, you know, a game can look as pretty as it wants, play as well as it wants. If it doesn't have, like, top-tier writing, it's gonna suck. Like, it's just how it is. Two, having it be multiplayer is a big thing, right? So, like, if the four of us...
tabletop RPG. I mean, look. We will talk about this in a little bit. You know, we are a part of a podcast that is a tabletop RPG podcast.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to plug the shit out of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Later. But like, you know, it's having it be multiplayer so you can get into shenanigans with your friends and do things that you know.
Punch squirrels into trees with your friends.
Yeah, if you just do it by yourself, it's fine. But when you do it with your friends, you're like, hey, what the fuck is wrong with you? And everybody's laughing and having a good time.
That was seriously one of the most bizarre videos I've ever seen.
It made me so happy.
20, and it was just like it was a given Nat 20. No matter what, you were going to get it, and you just destroyed this goddamn squirrel.
Absolutely, fuck this squirrel. it introduces or just reaffirms people's use of Dungeons and Dragons. I guess words are escaping me right now, and. You know, it made it more popular. So maybe now people go back and play more Dungeons and Dragons as a tabletop game, not just in a video game format. I just think that game had the ability to be incredibly special out the gate. And knowing that Baldur's Gate was coming, I was like, oh man, I really want it. And it's like, oh, it's not on Xbox console yet. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, it was on PlayStation 5, but not Xbox.
Yeah.
I mean, but now it is.
Yeah, it is.
Now it is on Xbox. I mean, personally, I'm waiting for a sale. I want to see I want to see the price. It's not that I don't want to play it. It's just the fact that we have so much we're playing already.
Right.
And so, I mean, I'm jumping between two systems with my normal gaming. So.
Right. So I'm on three right now.
I'm not doing much on my Switch.
Yeah. See, I never finished Tears of the Kingdom, which I was down my Switch for a good long time because one of my controllers got fucked.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't get to play. So I'm kind of working my way through that now too.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, like there's a lot going on. So I mean, I might just buy it so I have it. But
I said, 100% I'm going to buy it because. Finding like us being able to play
right
tabletop RPGs and like, I mean, as the four of us, you mean as our friends together with, you mean Team Clock, the Nat One Adventure.
Right.
out now.
Two episodes available for you. Rules episode and episode zero. Get that shit. Hell next yeah. episode comes out on Thursday. Let's go. We'll talk. I'll for real talk about it later.
Had to. Yeah, dude. So Baldur's Gate 3 completely took the world by storm. You had Alan Wake 2.
Right.
It made people want to be scared again. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Because like Alan Wake, the first Alan Wake I heard was kind of twisted. You know what I mean? It had some fucked up things. And then that game came out, I think, for like 360 or something, right? You mean that was an old game.
I think it was late 360, early Xbox One.
Okay. So
it was a while ago.
I mean, plus also having the people that did Alan Wake and Alan Wake 2, I mean, they also put out Control in between, which was like a pseudo sequel. And it's like, okay, cool.
If I remember correctly, I think I was talking to Alex about it, and they were related games. Yeah. Not just pseudo sequels. Like, there's
continuity things that actually like line up. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But like, all right, so let's just take a look at some of the games that have come out this year.
Sure, let's go.
Right? So we can talk right now about what you were just talking about earlier with the Switch. Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Me personally, that is my game of the year.
Right.
That is my game of the year. I did not think I could enjoy essentially an upgraded, you know what I mean, an upgraded Breath of the Wild. But the fact that, but I know you don't like that.
No.
The fact of like, you know what I mean, the biggest thing they did was the layers. Like, so you had, you know what I mean, so you have the Sky Kingdom, and then you have,
underneath. I know what you know. The depths.
Like, the depths. There you right, go. Yeah. Right.
Words.
So
having a hard time with words today, guys.
Fuck words. Who needs them? But it was just you were able to seamlessly move between them.
Right.
Like I was like, okay, fine. I'll go up to the sky and then I'm just going to jump. That was the way I found most of the shrines that I found.
Mm-hmm.
I would just be free falling and then just zoom in and try to look for them.
Right.
Because like you. I do not see anything being better when it came down to like a Legend of Zelda game. Like, and again, I never played any of the originals. My very first Legend of Zelda game was Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I really still wish you could get you on like an Ocarina of Time or a Wind Waker. Man, those games are so good, so good.
I believe it.
So, as far as it being an upgraded Breath of the Wild, same world essentially. Different powers, different storyline.
Yes.
World did change a little bit in between the games. So it was just different enough where I was able to enjoy it.
I enjoyed the story much more.
Right, because there was a much cohesive linear story that was going on in addition instead of whatever Breath of the Wild was. Breath of the Wild was it wasn't an achievement of story so much as it was a open world gameplay achievement for Zelda, right?
Okay,
that's what game was. This game seems to be more story based. Like, I feel more invested in this story ever was in Breath of the Wild. I mean,
so to me, Breath of the Wild was much more of Avengers Assemble.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're getting your crew because, you mean, when you get your whole crew in the very first with that, you know what I mean? They go ahead and they hit Ganon and he's knocked down half powered.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you have all four of the beasts.
And you don't even have to do
that. And you don't do shit. Yeah, and that's the thing. You don't even have to do it. And you didn't do shit to knock him down half power. Now, see, you're not done playing Tears of the Kingdom.
I'm not. No. I don't care.
In the story or like any of
story.
So you run through, it brings back a lot of like the Japanese RPG type feel because you have a multi-layer boss system. You know what I mean? Ooh, nice. Dealing with the bosses. So when you deal with like Ganondorf and all that type of shit, like, dude, it's many layers. Mm. And then with that information and using that, it's also not only many layers, but also many depths. You work between all three layers of Hyrule.
Nice.
And it's like between that and the dragons. Yeah. And I'm still not entirely sure why the fuck Zelda is a dragon.
Did you not pay attention to all the things?
Well, no. So I understand the fact that she did it so that way she could bring the sword and everything else to Link in that time.
Right.
Yeah, she becomes a obscenely weird looking dragon in a world of dragons.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought I'd see Karen dragons. Like I'm sorry. Like, that's seriously what it was.
Don't worry about their hairstyle. All right, it is what it is.
I mean, but she had hair.
Don't worry about her hairstyle, bro.
But yeah, dude. Like I still thought that the dragon part was weird. I wasn't fully on with that.
Right.
But the way that they work the timeline is something that I absolutely loved. I loved being able to do the teardrops and working through time and working through every single one of those little vignettes to learn learn the story and to actually learn how Ganondorf actually truly became the evil one that he was. You know what I mean? Like having that information.
That was really fun. I guess we should have said spoilers up front, just in case.
The game came out in May.
Okay. It doesn't mean somebody hasn't played it. I mean,
so let's go ahead. Now since I fucked that up, let me go ahead and run through a few more things. Huh? We had Street Fighter VI come out this year. Again, I'm not big on PC stuff, but just fighting games in general. But yeah, I know what Street Fighter is, just like how I know MK1. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So like Cocoon, that one, like Indie of the Year at the Game Awards. I'm playing it. It is a 3-button game.
Nice.
That's it.
Love it.
It is 3 buttons. Get
your shit together.
Dude, it like all you're doing is just trying to figure out how to carry one ball through an area and using that ball to make like platforms move and shit. It's oddly satisfying, but I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I still don't know what's happening.
Maybe you don't need to know what's happening. Maybe just enjoy yourself.
Honestly. Another game that we had this year is something that we're still throwing around, Diablo 4.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel okay with giving Diablo a good grade. I think they did a better version with this game than they did 3.
Yeah, I think 4 outpaces 3 in every possible way.
Yeah, the story is much better.
I also think it's a deeper system overall. You know, just between your abilities and then the Paragon levels and all that kind of stuff. And then we start playing with world tiers and dungeons and aspects and glyphs. Like, there's a lot to do. Like, the reason I haven't been like, all right, man, we're done with Diablo.
There's still so much.
Right, because there's still challenges. Like, I'm like 7-ish levels behind you guys right now.
Yeah.
And you know,
and meanwhile, we are still fairly low. We're only tier 4.
Right.
I mean, we're only world tier 4, which is pretty damn low.
We're struggling.
Yes. I'm a level 76.
I love that. I'm a level
76 on world tier 4. And yeah, I'm struggling. There are points that I'm dying like a motherfucker and you guys are coming to get me.
Don't get me wrong. I love being overpowered. Like, it's one of my favorite things in games. However, I also love struggling a little bit. Like, I don't want a roguelike situation where I'm just getting my ass handed to me over and over and over and over again, and I'm just like,
all right, some Hades type shit.
This is not fun anymore. But I have yet to experience that with Diablo.
Yeah, right. Same.
I started griping a little bit this week. I'm like, I'm gonna need some better gear, man. Like, you're killing me. Like, the reason we went world tier 4 is so we get better gear, and all of us are just like, most of our stuff is just like basic stuff. Like, we want stronger stuff so we can do more stuff.
Yeah, I think for me, I need to find better things I could to take the imprints from.
Give
me better aspects.
Right.
Because that's where I'm at now. Because I'm looking at like level 70 something aspects now, trying to make sure that all of that shit flows the way I need it to. And like, I play as a sorcerer, which the sorcerer is an OP build anyway in the game. It really is. And I know that. And with me still having my challenges in the game, you know, right. That just says everything it needs to say about it.
Running Druid has been really fun for me because it's not.
The Druid is so wild.
I don't typically run a big, beefy, tanky type dude, and I've enjoyed the hell out of it. Like, it's been great.
Now, can you only be a werebear? I always forget this.
Or you could have. I could have been a werewolf, but I felt like the bear, it offered like better. Like, there were better builds that I liked more.
Okay.
Like it allowed me to do more AoE damage rather than just like single target, and that was.
Yeah, AoE is basically, that's my entire play with Sorcerer.
Right. So I love like the pulverize skill. I know I'm getting in the fucking weeds here, but like it's very fun for me. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah. So Spider-Man 2.
Mm.
So say whatever you want to say about it, because I haven't played it.
I'm not going to say whatever I want to say. I will say a little bit.
I'm not entirely like afraid of hearing the story.
No, I'm not going to do
the game. You know what I'm saying?
I want you to experience it because, like, so I streamed the game. I streamed everything I did in the game. Not everything, most of it. Like
the Twisted Cape.
I did some stuff, with the Twisted Cape on Twitch, offline, but most of it I did online. And what I did offline was just like tedious shit for side missions. Like, there's side missions where, like, so in this game you get web wings and you can soar through the city. And there's things where you have to like chase down certain things, targets. And then I did the very last one on stream so that way we get the story, right?
Got it.
Yeah, there were little pieces here and there, but like it was like, all right, fine. But it was like driving. It was like me driving in a game, and that's horrendously not fun to watch or do for me.
For me, it's fucking hilarious.
Right.
We had you driving Borderlands on purpose.
Oh, I mean, y'all had to just deal with it. Like, I was like,
and I loved every second of
it. I'm going to flip this shit.
until I die.
Yeah, right. I pick you up. I always pick you up.
You did.
But Spider-Man was a really, really good game. Like, Alex and I talked about it. Like, the first third of the game struggles. It struggles to find its footing, but then, like, it finds it, and it just fucking, like there's a stream that I did towards the end, and I was like, I said something offhanded. I was like, I didn't expect it to happen, and then it happened, and then I flipped out and started, like Andy texted me. He was like, yo, that smile that you had was the biggest, like, I could tell you were having the most fun. Alex was in there real time. There's a bunch of people, or Janal was in there real time. Like, I was just enjoying the shit out of myself. And it was like, it was so fun. I really want you to experience it. So I'm not going to say anything.
Okay.
Right. But it's not just one moment. There's a couple of moments, and it does. It's such a good job. Again, back to writing. Amazing job writing, right? From everything with Kraven and Venom and all the side missions. Okay. And it set stuff up for later. So, I mean, like, I was almost a little disappointed that they didn't say, hey, guys, we're working on some DLC. I mean, yeah, we know about the leaks and stuff like that, which kind of sucks. But I guess we can talk about that later if you really, really want to. But that game was incredible. That was my game of the year. I played a few games this year, but I didn't enjoy anything more than that. Spider-Man's my like favorite all-time character. Yeah. Like, I got Spider-Man, I got Peter, I got Miles. What do you want? What do you want from me here? This is too good.
Another game that came out this year and at least took us by storm, at least for a little bit, you know what I mean, running on some Friday nights, was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, man, that game, it was
I was not expecting.
Right.
Really wasn't.
Right.
I mean, look, I played the Dead Before Daylight. You know what I mean? I played
Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, Dead by Daylight. Like, look, I've run that stuff before. You mean I've been the victims, I've been the killer, tried on both of them and just fucking flailed horribly, you know what I mean, on both of them. And then Andy mentioned something about Texas Chainsaw. I'm like, you know something? Fuck it. It could be a fun thing that maybe we could start streaming again.
Right.
You know what I mean? It would be nice. We started becoming fucking good. Like, I'm not saying we're world tier level, but
no.
Yo, dude, like there were points that I like we would have something happening up top because Andy would normally play as Leatherface, and Leatherface always starts in the basement. Everybody else starts on the main level of the world. And we would be chasing people, and they would hop down these wells, which would lead them back into the basement.
Right.
And then we would just tell Andy where we are and that they jumped, and then he would go and he'd find him, and 9 chances out of 10,
right,
he's putting a few more hits on him.
So the thing that was fun about that game is, first of all, the anxiety when you had four and you had to be the victims, right? Because there's no way you got out of, like, because you're just in the mindset of, oh, shit, they're trying to find me. Oh, shit, they're trying to find me.
Getting out of the basement is, like that is, like, I had more trouble getting out of the basement
right
than I ever did with anything else in the game.
So I feel like,
as a victim,
a lot of that's because I didn't know, like, I just jumped in with you guys, right? Like,
that is true.
I didn't know anything about any of these maps, how these things are laid out. It's not like one of these dynamic levels that changes every time you're in it, but I just, you know,
no, you end up with, I think there's like 4 or 5 different maps, and then right, it's either dawn, dusk, night, or day.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, and then from there, it's either going to be advantageous for either the family or the victims. Like, right, like nighttime, it is much more advantageous to be a victim.
Right.
Because of being able to sneak around. Right. But
you can creep. Honestly, I had a guy walk right by me and I was like, oh, in the grass, and I was like, oh shit. Oh shit.
Like, shit, dude, like, it messes with you.
Yeah, it really does. Like, that anxiety level's high, bro.
Yes.
But then on the flip side,
being the family.
Getting to be the family is just like,
yo, I mean, it is my favorite thing.
We're going to fuck these assholes up.
Like, and, like, yo, that's what it is. Because, I mean, normally I play Sissy, who is essentially Poison Ivy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you want to break her down to somebody who, like, people would recognize, she uses these poison chemical powders, and she, like, pours them into the health potions.
Right.
So if somebody grabs a health potion and drinks it, they become poisoned. She can blow this cloud of poison out on people.
Right.
And then, like, her main weapon is, like, the stiletto knife. And, like, her big thing is blood harvesting. That's right. That's where all her stuff naturally sits.
Right.
To where that she can, like, because she, like, when we all ran, she was the one that always had the highest amount of blood that she can grab.
Yeah.
To give to good old grandpa.
Fill up, grandpa.
Yeah. Good God, that pause. Was...
Pause. Hang on, I'm going to fill up grandpa real quick. Pause.
But yeah, man, yo, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's one of those games that we are still going to continue to
play. Right, I think so. Like, it's just, it's so fun.
As long as it stays on Game Pass, we're good
for it. I loved, we started playing this one map, and I was like, yo, single high safety out back. It's like, one of us is just basically
what to do.
One guy hangs out by the gate, and they get it unlocked, and they're trying to get out there. And we're just like, somebody's just sitting in the grass and they just run up. The victim's trying to get away. We're just like, nah, you ain't going nowhere.
Or I would turn the battery back on and leave you outside of the motherfucker.
Right.
So basically you couldn't do shit. So it's just me and Andy running.
I was like, all right, let me try and go. And I got electrocuted. I'm like, fuck.
I didn't know you were out there, though. Oh. We do have something we definitely talk about to talk about a little bit of a disappointment this year in video games. Redfall.
Yeah, Redfall, man. So I was hyped up for this game, right? Because, you know, first of all, co-op shooter. I'm already down, right? I can play
with first person.
I can play with my regular crew, right? Yeah. All four of us, all same time, same game. Vampires. I'm definitely in. Like, there's no reason that I don't want to fuck up some vampires. Like, let's go. Also, we all have powers. Bet. Let's ride. Like, I'm
can't
ready.
Nobody be the same.
You I'm know ready
so
to go.
We're all, so we're all just different. I mean, we're on the full gambit of the power set.
A developer with a good track record. I was like, yo, this game's gonna fucking, like, we're gonna be in this shit for a long ass time. We get this game, and thank God I didn't actually have to put out actual money to pay exclusively for this game.
Dude,
thank God for Game Pass, because I would have been like, yo, I want my money back, dude.
I will be 100% honest with you. I finished that game just because of y'all.
Yeah.
Just because I was running it with you guys.
Look, I'm
there
not
was
gonna lie.
No other reason. Like, I checked out on that game so much earlier.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, I know the way our friend group works is you know, sometimes, you know, we'll all play a game that we're all interested in. Sometimes we'll play a game that maybe one or two of us are interested in. This game I know y'all exclusively got for me. Like, I know that.
Initially, I was completely game for it. Initially, because, like, the chick that, you mean, like, the elevator and all that type of shit. I mean, she looked cool as fuck.
Right.
And I just... They dropped the ball.
Yeah, they really did.
So, again, everything we're talking about that Spider-Man 2 did, everything we're talking about that Tears of the Kingdom did, Redfall did not.
Absolutely.
They did the absolute opposite. The graphics were incredibly janky. They were broken.
Oh, my God.
Stupid broken. Dude, they, you know, like climbing up cliff faces was worse than Skyrim broken. I'm not joking.
I know you're not. I'm laughing because it's funny, but it's also not. you know, I mean,
the story didn't have me at all.
No, it really didn't. And it's like there was just so many like lost opportunities that we just it was disappointing at times, and we deserved better. So I mean, I know the game has gone under some revisions and patches and updates, and that's great. I'm never gonna put it back on my console. Honestly, we completed the game and immediately got
all of us.
All of us. Like, it was like it was almost like we didn't talk about it in advance. It was like, oh, cool, we're done. What are you doing? I'm uninstalling the game. Oh,
yeah, it was okay. Yeah, it was immediate. It was like every one of us when we were done, because at first we were like, that's it,
right?
Because the end was just very abrupt. You know what I mean? Again, it didn't flow. There was nothing about that game that flowed, and it was like that part was annoying as hell to me. We did fuck around with Wild Hearts a little bit.
I did not play that game.
Oh, no. You know something? That was a Javier one.
Ooh.
That was a Javier one. That was mainly Hav and Dan. They enjoyed fucking around. It's essentially Monster Hunter, but just a little bit different.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Wasn't there a Monster Hunter earlier this year?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Monster Hunter.
Was it Rise?
Yes.
Yeah, we started playing that, and I dipped out.
You did.
That was one of those games where, you know, I only played because of y'all. Again, just like I said.
And look, that's fine because I thoroughly enjoyed it. That Monster Hunter game was so much fun for me. I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, I started picking up a little bit after World because then I picked up, obviously, Rise. And then there was another one that was on, it was like Stories or something. You know what I mean? There was one that was on the Switch that I picked up as well. And I guess I just enjoy that world.
Yeah.
And then,
I can see that.
And now we have... Now we have the new one that's going to be coming out soon.
Right.
And I think 25 is when we're going to get that.
Okay. I was going to say, it feels like they've been just dropping one like once a year.
I mean, basically, whenever the fuck crazy. they just do it whenever the fuck they want to do it. All right. So let's talk about a little. We got a handful of things that happened in the year. We can go ahead and talk about like moments. Like one of the ones that kind of hit everybody's heart is Charles Marinette, the voice of Mario.
Yeah.
He officially stepped back from recording Mario and the entire slew of other voices he did for Nintendo.
Right.
And that one hit for us because that's our Mario. For real. I swear I did look at this before you came over. Brain just completely just goes that's to fine. Shit now.
He's not going to do it forever. Right. Like it's like
I get that.
It's just, you know, I hope he made his money. I hope they paid him for what he was worth. I don't know about his net worth or anything like that, but just like
neither do I.
Secure their bag, brother.
Some other big things was like the Last of Us series being ran on HBO.
I still have not watched it.
I haven't watched it yet either. I've heard it's good. Even Alex wasn't like completely shitting on it. So that so that tells me it's half decent.
You don't like anything, Alex. Decent. You like nothing.
That's not what I. Great. Now he's gonna get on me.
No, it's fine. Like he regularly. I was just listening to the show today. It was like he regularly jokes about how.
He hates everything. But yeah, man. Like it did win a handful of awards. Like, I mean, it won at the Game Awards. I know it won. I know that they're up for a bunch of stuff for like next year's Emmys and shit like that.
I don't give a fuck about those. I'm not gonna lie to you.
I mean, look, I'm just saying. But also within this news, we also had a lot of deaths that we had to deal with.
Oh man, there's a couple big ones this year.
And this shit hit real hard. Mm. So The woman who is known for portraying Tess in Last of Us games.
Yeah.
Anne Wershing, she passed away. You had Tom Sizemore, him passing away. A lot of people knew him because he was Sonny Forelli in the Vice City games.
Yep.
You had, obviously, a huge one for us, Lance Reddick.
Eyes up, Guardian.
Yeah, so, I mean, Commander Zavala, which was, I mean that was mine.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans, you know what I'm saying? That was...
I mean, yeah, I mean, between being an actor and a voice actor, that one stung. Cut deep. Yeah. Cut deep.
Yeah, and also, a lot of people would also know him from as Silence from the Horizon stuff.
Right.
And the DLC from the New Horizon game does have a memorial for him in it.
Oh.
They have a spot. I'm going to buy the DLC. No, I'm sorry. I already did buy the DLC. I'm going to play the DLC, and I'm going to take a picture when I find that spot, because it, uh-huh. it straight up just says, like, with like that holographic name that, like, that's naturally in that game, even though you see from like the focus and all. I mean, it says in memory of Lance Reddick. Like, uh-huh. it's just so awesome. And I was so proud of the Destiny community,
right,
after he passed, because at a time when people could have just not cared,
right.
People had just kept on playing, not even looked at it for a month.
Right.
At least straight. You had nothing but teams constantly sitting where Zavala normally is in the game, in the hub, in the main hub. And they are just, you mean, it's basically just a moment of silence.
But he loved that game and that community, right? Like,
he really did. Like he was threw no down bullshit. With
right,
it.
Right. Like all the time. Like,
yeah.
You know, it mattered to him. He like people would send him stuff and he would read it in Zavala's voice and it was amazing. You know, he like if there was a guy who was about that game, the game that he did voice acting for or whatever, it was him and Destiny.
Agreed.
For sure.
Yeah. Another one we lost this year was Arlene Sorkin. Mainly known for the voice of Harley Quinn. She did reprise that role in the Arkham Asylum games.
Right.
So, I mean, that was great, but I mean, she was the very first voice of Harley. Let me go ahead and put it that way. A lot of people know now as Tara,
right?
Tara Strong being the voice of Harley, but she
does a damn good job too. But
absolutely,
yeah, yeah.
And then Matthew Perry. Now, I fully understand why people can be upset because Matthew Perry, obviously Friends, of that. Did you know that he was Benny in Fallout New Vegas?
I did
because I did not until today.
Right. So I did know that, and I thought he was a voice somewhere else as well. I can't remember, but yeah, I did know that. I did know that.
I mean, like, that shit just blows my mind. Cause
right.
I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, yo, I fucked around with that game for so long. Like, dude, that was my favorite Fallout.
I might run it back.
For a stretch.
I might run it back.
It is on Game Pass.
Right. I mean, Bethesda. It better be.
Yeah. Actually, dude, you know something? That's really not a bad idea. Cause like
quit giving me Skyrim remasters, remaster New Vegas, bitches.
Because that dude, number one, that was the first time we got Obsidian.
Right,
that was the first time Obsidian actually started fucking with that world, and they did a fantastic job. My only gripe with it was that the end game was quite seriously the end. You know what I mean?
I mean,
there was nothing else you could do after. Like it rolled credits, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of stupid. But other than that, like being able to the way you upgraded your guns, the way you could make your own ammo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were so many little things that they did in that one that made it so much better than 3. And they just kept on just building up that scale and those steps to going to 4 and then 76.
I haven't fucked that game in a long time.
Man, yeah. See, I'm going to play just because I want to find Benny now.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so that was some of the news and stuff that we had. This year. I mean, look, I really wasn't expecting to just kind of jump into anything really wild with this episode, everybody. It was just kind of just like just the way that I kind of just felt about this year.
Yeah.
You know I mean? And again, we've only been running the podcast for half of the year, so. Yeah, I mean, look, shit happens. Life's been life. Yeah. You know what I mean? But dude, we've had a handful of things that have come out hardware wise as well. So I know that Andy has this, the PlayStation VR 2.
Of course.
And I think Hav does too, doesn't he?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I think he does. And I mean, look, if that's the way you want to watch boobies, then you know what I mean? Whatever, bruh. You can use that in your MetaQuest.
I just, you know, it's just not there for me yet. Like,
So the one thing that I am going to say is we are very close, and it bothers me, is because it's with the MetaQuest. Because MetaQuest is also owned, obviously, by Meta, which is Facebook.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg. But you can now get Game Pass on MetaQuest 3.
Oh, shit.
And you could, like, so our kids' game. You know what I mean? Like, your oldest, you know what I mean? He's a Minecraft kid. You know what I mean? He likes fucking around with all
Fortnite
that
Fortnite a little bit.
Yeah. So while he's doing that, you could be on your account on the VR in the same room. You're looking at like a 120-inch screen, you know what I mean? You mean through the
right.
Through the visor, and you're just holding your controller just playing.
Right.
Like I love that.
It'd be amazing.
It is like we're getting so much closer to Ready Player One.
Right.
And that type of stuff, which really scares me kind of, because if we're getting that much closer to Ready Player One, that means we're getting that much closer to Matrix.
Right.
And then we're all going to learn.
I don't want to be a heat source.
In a simulation?
We are already living one.
We also got the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
It didn't make as many waves as I thought it would.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be way bigger. Like, I know there are people who enjoy it. Like, we're talking to Trix about it.
Yes.
I know he enjoys it.
He's been using his a lot.
Right. You know, talked to a whole bunch of people in Spaghetti Town about it. It's interesting, right? Because it makes the computer stuff on Steam portable. That's amazing. There's a lot of cool games on Steam. I just don't know that I need that. I personally, like, you know, if money was no object, yeah, I'd probably have it. But I don't know that I need a Switch, a PS5, a Series X, a Steam Deck, and everything else that I do. Like, it's just like that one's the one that's just like a bridge too far. Like, I mean, can't.
Then you might as well buy a PlayStation Portal, and,
right?
Like, I mean, you might as well get the backbone right. controllers for the phone.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, look, there are so many ways to be able to take console gaming on the road,
right?
And just using your 5G or Wi-Fi or whatever to be able to just play your games as normal as possible.
Exactly.
And that is fucking insane to me.
It's fun.
Like, it's like, I mean, like, I love my Switch Lite. My Switch Lite is like, how many times I bring it over your house, man?
Like, plenty.
I sit on your fucking couch when my kids run around like a bunch of like nuts.
When I was traveling for work, I would take my Switch.
Yeah.
And I would play and, you know, sit in a hotel room because there wasn't shit else to do. It was crazy.
Dude, it gave you that little bit of home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just love that. Yes, but like, so yeah, we got the PlayStation Portal, which is essentially a portable, essentially Steam Deck. You mm-hmm. mean, you mean it's PlayStation's version of Steam Deck. And then we got some stuff with the Atari 2600 Plus. I'm still not entirely sure what the fuck is happening with this.
Is it? Are they running? It is an 80%
scale replica of the system. I mean, look, it came out last month. It came out at the middle of November.
Okay.
Like, dude, you can run an original fucking 2600 and 7800 cartridges.
Oh, shit.
Like, so that's pretty wild. But again, you're talking about something that basically nobody talked about.
Right.
I haven't heard anything.
This is my first time hearing about it.
I haven't heard anything about the Atari 2600. Like, I've heard a little bit just because of us doing, like, consoles through history stuff. Right. But, like, honestly, that's it. Yeah, man.
Like, I mean, there has to be like a market for it to be like really, really heavily talked about. And I feel like that market isn't going to be as big as current gen hardware. Like, yeah, if you love retro gaming, cool. If you don't love retro gaming, it's not going to hit.
True. Very true.
So were there any games that released this year that you didn't get that you're going to get? You know, we talked about Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate is one. Right. Spider-Man 2, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to get. Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Absolutely on the list.
I have to pick that up. Jess and I were talking about that because, I mean, the Mario games is something that her and I kind of bond over. I mean yeah. That's like, anytime we do game together, that's basically what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's just hilarious having us battle. It's like, for me, it's just fucking fun as hell. I think that's it for the most part from stuff that came out this year. I'm not big into like a lot of the Scary World stuff. So like the Alan Wake stuff, I I probably won't jump into.
Right.
like, I might pick up the Resident Evil 4.
Right.
I mean, the redo they did on that.
No, Alan Wake somehow ended up on Game Pass. I'm playing that shit.
I mean, it should.
Yeah.
It absolutely should end up on Game Pass. We had the first one on Game Pass.
So, I mean, I think it was owned by Microsoft at that point.
Yeah, it's isn't it Devolver? Not Devolver. God damn it.
I don't think they're owned by Microsoft anymore.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Because I believe it released everywhere. And they don't tend to do that a whole ton.
You're right again. As always. As always. But what about you?
Wonder is definitely on the list. I'm still working through a bunch of the PlayStation exclusives. So I got Star Wars Survivor.
That's another one Jedi I need Survivor. To pick up. Yeah.
I bought it. I haven't played it yet. I'm probably going to stream that starting early next year.
Nice.
But like that's kind of it for now. Like I'm still working through 2018 God of War. I got to get through Ragnarok. There's a ton of PlayStation games I'm going to pick
Ragnarok,
up.
I'm still in. I'm like 20 hours in on that.
Yeah. Ghost of Tsushima is high on my list, on my PlayStation list. There's not really anything else on Nintendo that I'm looking at, outside of Wonder, and I'll probably play that with the kids a little bit. Outside of that, yeah, I think I'm pretty much good. Like most of the stuff I wanted to play this year, I played.
Right. Well, what about next year? Do you have anything next year you're looking at?
Oh man, I don't remember what's out next year, but there isn't anything that like. We're probably I'll probably jump and do some Destiny content, only because I care about where that story goes.
I can understand that,
but
I probably, if I do, it'll be on the PlayStation because it's currently running on the PlayStation Network for free.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you know what I mean, their tier system. So I'll probably get it. I mean, I'll probably download it for that if I do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I'm not going to buy the game again.
Right. I have it on disc, so I'll just throw the disc in. I already paid for a bunch of. I thought they made Destiny basically free to play.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Neither do I.
I have it, so I'm it's not, like dude, not something that I think
not,
about often.
I'm not here to talk with you to remember shit.
So I mean, what do we got on the docket for next year?
Tekken 8. For me, that's one. I mean, that's a big one.
Yeah.
One that I think is probably going to flop like crazy, and you're going to agree. Suicide Squad killed the Justice League.
I'm going to play it on stream. I think it's going to be trash.
I think it's going to be trash as well. What else do we have? We're going to have a remaster of Tomb Raider 1-3. So that should be interesting. I kind of like that. We got Mario vs. Donkey Kong. That's going to be coming out. It's going to be a puzzle platformer game. Kind of like that. I mean, yeah, Skull and Bones, which had a big, I mean, they had a big thing during the Game Awards for coming back. I mean, now that we're finally getting a fucking release date on it.
So obviously, Black Myth.
Wukong.
Yeah.
That one just looks.
I'm all the way in on that game.
Yes. Even though it looks like it is a Souls game, it looks like it's very Souls-ish.
I mean, it looks like the hook is there, though. Like, that's the thing. Like,
yeah.
If the hook wasn't there, I wouldn't care. But it looks like it's just interesting as shit. I'm probably going to see what Star Wars Outlaws is all about.
I feel like it would be against your interest as a person if you didn't.
Right. Like, I'm going to see what happens there. A game I've been wanting for a very long time, Avowed.
I just saw that here, yeah.
Yeah, Avowed. Avowed is high on my list. I'm actually running through Pillars of Eternity because it uses the same world.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm playing it.
Got it.
For what it's worth, I dropped that thing down to like story mode because I just want to burn my way through. I don't want the difficulty of combat. I don't give a shit. It's tough as a game, but you know
I couldn't do it. But that's only because I just couldn't figure out the mechanics. The fighting mechanics just fucking had me.
Yeah, it's like part real time, part turn based. It's weird. It's definitely weird. Outside of that, like there's not much that I'm like super excited for. Most of the stuff that I have, on my list will be like stuff from this year that I'm still working through. Baldur's Gate, I'm sure I'm going to spend a whole lot of time in that.
Yeah, that one's going to take up a good bit of time. Because, look, I already know, I mean, the system I'm buying it for is going to be my Xbox, which means I will be down here playing in the studio.
Right.
Which means that, you know, I'll most likely be throwing down with y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously.
I should hope.
Hellblade 2. There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Senua's Saga. So, I actually started playing the first one.
Yeah.
Not, like, earlier this week. And the difference is I have the Microsoft official 360 headphones.
No, that's probably fucking you up, dude.
Dude, okay, so for somebody who does normally have an internal monologue that is quite loud, it like my anxiety level is going up playing the game. Like for real. And that's weird for me.
Yeah, I imagine.
I didn't think that it would, like, I mean, like, yeah, I kind of was like, my shit don't stink kind of a feel about it. Like, I'm like, yo, I'm mentally unstable. I can handle this game.
This will be fine.
It's essentially what I said.
Narrator, this was not fun.
It was at that moment he knew. He fucked up.
He fucked up.
But yeah, so with the way that's going currently, I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? I like I'm probably going to end up be scared of that game, but I feel like it'll be a good enough journey for me.
I'm waiting to see a little more about on Marathon. They announced it like around what would have been E3 time.
That's something we didn't even talk about.
Yeah, I figured we'd get there.
Okay.
But that's a game being made by Bungie.
Okay.
Which is interesting because of the relationship they have with PlayStation proper right now.
Well, aren't they owned?
Yeah, but like they were leaving Bungie alone and Destiny's been struggling, so they have like a quarter to turn things around or Sony's getting involved. And we all know it's always a good idea when executives get involved with creative things.
Absolutely.
There's no problems there at all.
No, never. Let me cry now.
Fucking assholes.
I'm going to tell you what, though. So, yeah, I mean, look, there are a few things I'm waiting for next year, but TV-wise, entertainment-wise, media-wise, there is something that I am very excited for and something I am very nervous about.
Okay. Tell me what you're nervous about first.
I'm nervous about Borderlands.
Oh, yeah.
Borderlands is supposed to be coming out
August
9th.
Nervous isn't the word. Nervous is... I'm expecting that movie to be ass. Am I going to see it?
I'm expecting it to be worse than Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be good.
Neither do I, and it bothers me because they went... Like, Lionsgate went in on this movie completely just wanting to get the biggest names they can to just try to show up. And it's like that's not what this is for. Like, we've talked about this so many times. Kevin Hart... He would, like, there are other parts in that series that he would be fantastic. But the man is shorter than me. There's no reason why he should be Roland. All right. I'm sorry.
Roland's very, very, like, prototypical, big, strong military dude. Like, honestly, if you'd gotten somebody with, like, Ving Rhames's build, like, back in the day.
I mean, look, Mike Coulter would be perfect.
Oh, my God, yeah. He would have been awesome.
Mike Coulter would have been on point for that. You know what I mean? That would have been the best role for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, dude, fuck.
And the thing about that role in casting is that he can't be funny. Right? Like, Roland, like, I played Roland in the first game. He's not funny.
No, he is straight.
Yeah,
he plays it all straight.
Right. But he allows the comedy to happen to him because he's basically the straight guy for everybody else. Brick is fucking crazy. Right? Like, if Brick is doing Brick shit, like, you need a straight guy, and that's Roland.
I mean, the same thing with Mordecai.
Right. He's kind of crazy, too.
Well, yeah. He's also a raging alcoholic.
Right. So it's just like, you know, they're just missing.
I mean, you have that part of it. One of the only castings I'm not mad about is Jamie Lee Curtis as Tannis.
Yeah, that's not
because, like, for me, Tannis is either going to be somebody like Jamie Lee Curtis or somebody like Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Yep, those are the only two women I could ever see playing that role.
But she has to be, like, out of her mind in a very specific way, right? Like, so if she's not, like, you don't watch. You don't care.
No, yeah. Part of her charm, I guess we can say, part of her quote-unquote charm is the fact that she is a researcher to the absolute core.
Right. She'll do fucked up shit to you just because
there's going to be a result that she can write down.
Right.
She, dude, she's in it for all the glory. All the fucking glory. She doesn't give a fuck about how it's done.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm insanely nervous about that. Again, it's coming out in August. I don't know what to expect. I fully expect a like Rotten Tomato of like 12%.
Right.
Right.
And I one that I so am bad. One I am super excited about is Fallout.
That, yeah. Yeah, that trailer.
That trailer, dude, it makes it look so like so you saw how the ghoul looked in that trailer, right?
Yeah.
That's the way that the ghouls are drawn for that book that I was telling you about that I'm listening to.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Dead Man book. Cause dude, it seems very much like a Fallout game.
Yeah.
It is so insane. But yeah, dude, you have like one of the best parts about this is that you have so many people that we just don't know.
Right.
So many names that I don't fucking know shit about.
See, that's the thing about Fallout, right? Like it's you care about the factions. It's not so much like
that is true.
Specific characters.
That is true.
There are specific characters who stay with you because they're either deplorable people or they're stalwart companions. Dogmeat. Honestly, if Dogmeat didn't show up, we'd be having some problems. And Dogmeat looks like a very, very good boy. The very good boy. Right. But also at the same time, you know, if Fox had showed up, right, Supermutant, like that would have been fun and cool.
Yeah.
But wouldn't necessarily make sense to the story. It's you know, Fallout is so versatile in that way.
Mainly because like you can take it from anywhere.
Right.
Fallout has a quite literally it has a like 2,000 year history of lore. Everything is doing with the radiation, the constant evolution from the radiation with the and depending on where you are, you can create the most obscene looking creatures.
Right.
Like what they did for 76 with having the Graph Monster and you know what I mean Mothman and like all that other type of shit.
Mothman.
Like I mean I mean like dude, all of that stuff, they just really just dipped into it.
Did you mean 200 year?
Is it 200?
I thought it was 200, not 2000.
I don't think it's 200. I mean, look, I'm pretty sure it's not 2000 either, but I don't even know how to look that up.
Well, you're looking that up. I will say that I'm excited for Sonic 3.
I still haven't seen them.
Dude.
I still need to see both of them.
They're very fun movies for the kids. Like, I, you know, as a parent of two who is taking their kids to see the Paw Patrol movies, I would rather never do that again and watch every Sonic movie ever made, but if possible.
So the post, all right. So the Great War happened in 2078. That's when it started. Okay, yeah, you're talking about 200 years. Okay, fine. You win. You're right.
No, again. Listen, you said 2000.
That's the episode title. Mike's always right.
I don't want somebody to hit you guys up and be like, well, actually.
Speaking of actualities, before we continue to do any more of this, I want to know why you keep on saying it like that. You're saying it like you have experience from people's talking to you like
that. Oh, it's from The Simpsons. It's from The Simpsons.
I was actually trying to lead you into to D&D.
Oh, I was going to talk about that. But yeah, that's from The Simpsons, like the comic book guy and all that kind of stuff. However, speaking of, well, actually, we are currently working on a D&D podcast. Like I said earlier in the episode, two episodes are available now, the rules episode. So I don't get those, well, actually, emails. Our very first episode at the table where we kind of talk about characters and the lore, and the NPCs and all that kind of stuff about
Team Clock, baby.
Agrandia. Yes. So you can email our show, Team Clock, a Natural One D&D adventure. You can email us, teamclockpod@gmail.com, teamclockpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm not using the new government name at all, at Team Clock Pod. you can hit us up on Discord. We'll hang out with you there too.
I'll throw the link for all this stuff on the show notes.
Love to hear it. So yeah, you can hear my voice doing my dungeon mastering. You can hear Wes's lovely voice and our friends Dan and Javier, who it's their first time really being a part of a regular podcasting thing.
Yeah. It's, obviously, people who listen to this, they've heard them here before.
Right, right.
You
know, so
I've had you guys on before.
Now is a really good time to get in because we haven't started playing yet. As far as, you know, episodes podcast are concerned. Goes. Right. So, we, you know, you get to learn everything you need to know about where these guys have been because we didn't start at the beginning of the campaign because we didn't think about doing it as a podcast.
It kind of like hit us a little bit all, like out of nowhere where you and I were both like, I think we can do this.
Right, right. I regret it. editing these episodes is a lot of work.
I'll find that out soon enough.
Yeah, but most of the, you know, I'm trying to lay some groundwork for you so that we don't have to worry about a lot of the
Roger that
shit that I'm doing right now. But yeah, I mean, I think these episodes are coming out really well. They drop every Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern. You can throw it in your favorite podcast platform,
please,
and just roll from there. I'm actually working on getting it on YouTube Music right now, so that way once it shifts from Google Podcasts to YouTube Music, you can just seamlessly listen to our golden voices, and
at least Mike's golden voice. Yeah, y'all gonna hear that? Oh, dude, I need to get that. I need to remember to drop that today.
Yeah.
I gotta put that on the Rodecaster.
There's lots of fun to be had. I think if you're new to D&D or if you're old to D&D, you'll have a good time with it. It'll be fun for you.
Yeah, because I mean, you were seasoned as a D&D player, but not as a master.
No, not a dungeon master. Like, honestly, it was terrifying to think about. And then you guys were like, "Oh, would you just like run a quick game for us?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll run a quick game." And then I did the play test, and I was like, "Oh, this is actually really fun." And then we rolled into the regular story, and it's been running for like 6 months now.
Yeah.
So it's been good, and you know, the story's really, I'm tooting my own horn. The story's been rich, and
by all means,
the guys have made deep, complex characters, and you know, they just learn some shit about each other. You won't hear it for months, unfortunately. But you know, it's been good. It's been good. Just spoiling shit out here for my own show.
it's all good.
You know,
they're gonna forget that this was even said by
right,
the time that
right,
shit comes
yeah,
out.
Absolutely, unless it's a podcast live forever. So, you know, they could listen to this and be like, "Oh, I know about."
So that's
show
how dumb now. They were 200 years ago. They thought it was 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. It'll be a good time. So, give the show a listen. Pop that thing, and give it a listen.
All right. So, with that being the end, I want to go ahead, before we let Anthony take y'all out, as he always does, I want to go ahead and just tell everybody to please, this is going to be, like, so recording this 12/23, it's already past Hanukkah. I hope those who celebrate had a fantastic Hanukkah. I hope that everybody who celebrates Christmas, Kwanzaa, everything else, you know what I mean, going into the new year, y'all have a safe, happy new year. We love y'all. We appreciate every one of y'all that listens. We are almost at 10,000 listens. By the time you guys hear this, we probably will have 10,000 listens on this podcast.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And it is because of y'all. So I want to go ahead and say just thank you. Now, Ant, can you tell them something? Just a little bit.
Glorious. It's a glorious day today, and it's Saturday, and we're going to connect with CGC. You can find us at consolegamingcrew.com. You can find us at our email, which is consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle, by the way, is @consolecrew. YouTube and Instagram are both consolegamingcrew. If you check us out, check out Boss Rush Network, which is bossrush.net. Great place. There's lots of things you can find there aside from us. Great people. By the way, Twitch should be returning at some point. It is CGC Podcast. We have co-op Mondays, and we're going to do something fancy for Fridays. I don't know yet. But that's where you can find us. And I hope you all have a wonderful day.
My God, his voice is so smooth.
Rich.
Love it. All right. Mr. Mike Clyburn, thank you very much for jumping on with me.
Of course.
I appreciate it, man.
No
I couldn't,
problem.
It would have been so much more awkward if I would have done this by myself.
Sometimes awkward's a thing that you just gotta do.
No, fuck that. No. No. Dude, awkward is my everyday. I don't need to do it more than I have to. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and make sure everybody can find you at all the places they can find you. I'll drop it all in the show notes. Everybody who's hung out again for the podcast over the last 5 years, thank you. I mean, we appreciate it. We truly do. So until next time, until y'all catch us in the new year, baby, I want y'all to please stay safe, wash your hands, do what you got to do to feel good, because you know that the gaming makes you feel good. And as always, players.
Game on.
Game on, bitch. We did it! Woo! Try our best, man. We fucking try our best.